Praise the Lord. All right. All right. That meant you have a seat and pay attention. In case you didn't forget, and the people that seem to forget are the people that's here most of the time. What is that deal that they do that raise your hand if you do this and that, and then how many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? You've heard that question.
How about raise your hand if you're not here?
Yeah, there you go. Well, that saying all that to say that I think that's the kind of attention Praise the Lord gets anymore. People just keep on going, but let's praise the Lord again. Do it right. We appreciate you being here today. We do have at least one person here for the first time, and Tom, you'll have an opportunity to introduce yourself if you want to in a few minutes. But before we do that, you know, I come here and I think about all this good food as I'm going through the line, and I have to put my chicken on top of everything else because everything else is so good. And then I think of a guy that told me before I went up there that he lost 17 pounds. He hasn't been here in many weeks, so he didn't eat the good food here. Perhaps that's the reason he lost the 17 pounds. But I'm going to let somebody else tell you the rest of the story. Gary Pernice is here, has not been here for several weeks, and I've invited him up to share with you a few minutes and ask God's blessing on the meeting. Let's welcome Gary.
I'm going to be very brief, but I'm going to tell you two different things. First, I was very ill, very, very ill. And I was never near death, but boy, I tell you, I feel like Job when he wished for it. It was horrific. And I lost 18 pounds in 5 weeks. And for 2 weeks, I couldn't even answer the phone because I couldn't speak. And all of this is sort of post-cancer. My body doesn't have a lot of immune system. And I had to go skiing in Vail, Colorado, where my wife was working. And I went with a little sniffle, and she says, I don't want you coming. You know you don't have a good. I said, Mary Jean, I'm going skiing. Well, it was a good trip, and so I hope it's a really good trip because it was 5 weeks in hospital and bed and everything. I have never been more miserable, though. It was horrific, and my throat was so bad that they had me gargle with benzene. And he said, now, if you happen to swallow it, get to the emergency room because we're going to pump your stomach. It's very serious. But that's what it had created so many things. I just had an exam last Tuesday because I'm the longest living survivor of choroidal melanoma in a study program in the world. And nowadays, they fill the whole stadiums with people that survive from what that first group learned. And I just happen to be the sole survivor of the first, so that's why I'm the longest living. So I've continued whenever they ask for me to come in and be a guinea pig, and they poke and they don't charge, they take good care of me. So they said after this treatment, because I was so bad, they wanted to make sure I was okay and there hadn't been any permanent damage. And so I got the report I went in Tuesday, I just got the report. And my wife, who is an athlete, she walks 4 miles a day. And if she can't go out in the weather, she has the treadmill. I mean, literally, religiously, four miles a day. And she's on some blood pressure medicine once in a while, so she tries to exercise to avoid that. I don't do anything. I look like Homer Simpson. My blood pressure was 112 over 62.
Wow.
She's not talking to me right now. Okay, so that's a praise report for sure. The second thing I just want to mention real quickly, many of you know that we bought into a hotel over off of Fulton Industrial Boulevard. It's a really rough part of town. We're converting it for a focus on veteran housing. And I don't know if any of you saw this, but day before yesterday, two more veterans committed suicide here in Atlanta, one on the steps of the Veterans Hospital here in Decatur because he wasn't getting treatment, killed himself. So it's a tragedy. The saying is that there's 22 veterans kill themselves each day on average in the United States. Well, that was true that was true for the last 10 years, right up to December 2018. We have already had 6,000 suicides this year, which is about 22 a day if you average over the year. We're on a track right now for about 50 suicides a day average if we don't do something. So it's every family and all these people, tragic, tragic. And I'm seeing it firsthand for the first time up close and personal. It's no longer just pray for me because or whatever. I'm seeing it, and it is a horrific need. The hotel has really been turned around. When we came in, it was at about 20% occupancy. It was a filthy mess. It was dangerous. There were drugs and human trafficking and gangs and drugs and prostitution and everything you can imagine. We approached it with a zero tolerance, and we spent about $900,000 since October. It is a different place. We've run everybody off. We had a lot of protection. We now have police just about 24 hours a day protecting us as we come and go because there's gangs that are angry. We destroyed their market. Our hotel is, I won't say 100% free of all these crimes, but it is 99%. There's families coming to us. There's children there all of the time. I leave my door open, and all day long people come by. Good morning, good afternoon, how are you? And they come in, and people say, will you pray for me? And I've never told anyone I'm a Christian, but Larry and I have taken that attitude of we're open door, and it has been a marvelous experience. And here's the bottom line. It's a 146-room hotel. We have renovated 80 or 90 rooms now, and every time we open five more rooms for renovation, that the next night we have five or six more people in the hotel. We stay at almost 100% occupancy 7 days a week. Now, this is a place that's 25% occupancy for the last 5 years. God is definitely afoot. We need a lot of prayer. We need referrals of veterans. But they do have standards. There's eligibility. They must have been honorably discharged or medically discharged, and they cannot be convicted of a violent crime or any sex-related or child-related crimes. But other than that, pretty much we help them. We have all the counties. The sheriffs are sending us people now routinely. So it's a ministry that's not what I got into it for. I was going to help veterans, but it was a business. And so that's a really big thing. The second thing is we do need folks to, if you know folks that want to donate to sponsoring nights for veterans to sleep over, we have scholarships. It's not free, but the going rate in the area is about $120 a night. If you're a veteran and you've vetted with us, it's $40 a night, $55 a night if it's with your family. And so that's a lot going on. And the third thing is I am now 100%, my days are filled with speaking to groups and politicians. We're working on a big event, and when it comes, I'm going to have you all come. The governor's already agreed to come, and we're going to have a big event there at the hotel when we're ready, probably another 3 to 4 months. But if you have any veterans group or veterans sympathetic or Christian groups that would permit you to come in and do a 5 or 10 minute presentation without disrupting their program or longer, absolutely, we would be delighted to be invited. So I've taken my 1 minute. That was a long Texas 1 minute. Let's give thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for you being a just and holy and all-loving God. We thank you for Larry and for Heinz for their faithfulness over these past 35 years with the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon and for the thousands upon thousands of people who have come through the doors either as guest speakers or as guests and friends that come to the assembly to listen to awesome testimonies of how God has intervened in lives all over the world, from the rich to the poor, to the smart to the ignorant, to the successful to the unsuccessful, and how he intervenes and literally changes lives, transforms them for a walk with God in eternity. We thank you for this meal and those who prepared it, and we thank you for our guest speaker today, and that we ask that you will touch us and that we will get a blessing from the experiences and the testimony today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
No way to top that. He says, top that. See, I told you. I'm open and transparent, Gary. You got to watch. There's no way to top that. Isn't that a blessing? Really a blessing. You know, so many times we think we're going a direction, and when we get there, we find out it's not what we thought it was at all, just like Gary's situation with. And the good thing about it, you can go in there every day expecting something better to happen than what you expected. The expectation that we as Christians should be able to have is something that sets us apart from what the world looks at. The world focuses on the negative things and looks at those negative things as something that bogs them down. We should be able to look at those negative things, not as negative things, but just things. Just what happens. And how is that supposed to fit into my activity in God's plan? In fact, as I was thinking this morning, as Gary was sharing, it fit in perfectly with the first quote I was going to share with you by John Maxwell, because many times I get up in the mornings on Wednesday morning, and because of what happened the day before, it influences what I bring to you. I think of people that maybe are going to speak somewhere, and they get prepared a week ahead of time. And I just can't see how that can be as relevant if it was prepared the morning before they go to speak. Now, I know there has to be some idea of what you're going to talk about. And fortunately for me, we've been doing this long enough that I know I'm going to share Scripture. And I'm going to share some practical application for the Scripture. And I'm going to share a story that's taking place in my life. But that's just a general outline. Like Hines sends to the speakers a general outline of how you can line your talk up. But it doesn't necessarily fit exactly that way. You may have more time talking about the job and where you see God working there than you do in the church and where you see Him working there. This morning as I sat and prayed, and as I've told you before, I always ask God to give me something to share that will allow you to realize that it's God speaking through me. Not me speaking, but God speaking through me. That puts me in a very humble place. You really can live in such a way that the twists and turns of life won't flatten you. In fact, they will fuel your journey. You can find your way and never lose it again. That's John Maxwell. And that last sentence, you can find your way and never lose it again, I think once you take the obstacles or the thing that appears to go wrong and see how it's used to mold and make you better on your influence on others, on your relationship with God, how it increases your faith, as you overcome that thing or you go around it, however you're able to work it in, what you learn from that can be so powerful for the where the Lord sends you next. In Romans 9, this is in the New Testament, and it makes reference to the Old Testament. And as I read this morning, and all this is going to tie together, Romans 9:10 says, not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by Him who calls us, she was told, the older will serve the younger. And that made me take some pause. The older will serve the younger. I see in a world now where the younger have ability that we older do not have. And I see how that would be easy for the older to serve the younger. I developed a relationship with an agent in our office because of the technology understanding and aptitude that he had, that I developed that relationship with him in such a way that I didn't have to worry about the technology. I can do the things I want to do, like establish relationships with people. I can do the things I want to do, like come to the luncheon. That person's license were revoked last week. And I think of the times that I had a couple of occasions where I had meetings set up. He wasn't there. And I'd call him and I'd say, hey, I want to make sure of something. If I'm putting more value on this relationship than you are, I want you to tell me. I'm not going to be mad at you. But I want to know so I don't misappropriate my time in the future. He apologized. And when I got this news last week, I could not help but think that what I wanted was not what he wanted. He didn't want to spend time with me. He didn't see the value there. If we're not careful as the older serving the younger, we'll forget about the important things. In fact, Philip Saxton shared his testimony and talked about how it used to be where the young men would sit around and eat peanuts while they heard the older men tell stories. And they learned from that. And we're missing. Now then, too many of the young people are not coachable. Too many of the young people look at the older people and say, man, they just don't get it. Because I ask them a question on my iPhone, or because I ask them a question that to them is common knowledge because they've lived with it all their life. Fortunately, I'm making sure with Caleb that we have breakfast once a month. And I was telling my brother this morning that the last time we had breakfast, there was a point where Caleb had that faraway look in his eye. And I think he left me for a few minutes. And that is not the right way to be in a meeting. If he does that again, I've got to call him out. I've coached him from peewee baseball and all the way up on soccer. And I know he's coachable. But what can happen in this world? There can things be... I'm sorry, I saw Mike there, and I'll get to you in just a second, Mike. You're going to have it in just a second. There can be things that get our attention. Let me finish, Mike. You need to hear this anyway. Okay. Well, you'll get it. Wait just a second now. Those things that often get our attention are not the things that we need to focus on. We need to not claim ADD like many in the marketplace right now do. Because they can't focus, they got to look at that text they just got, or they got to do this or that. They actually think they have ADD. And all they've got is a lack of discipline. And they need somebody to say, listen to me while we're together. You can pay attention to that other stuff after we leave. And I will do it. And here's the thing that we need to be aware of. Satan is constantly trying to get us off track on doing God's plan. Satan doesn't have a plan. He wants to get us off track on doing God's plan. Now, Mike stopped me. Mike, come on up here. Mike stopped me out there and told me something a while ago that I am so pleased that he's in here to share with you. He told me, then he told Hines, and now he's going to tell you. What's your last name, Mike?
Huntington.
Mike Huntington. Let's welcome Mike in here.
They always say it's open mic day, so I come to talk to you. I have a friend. She has very curly hair. Blonde lady. Her son fall off a ladder. His leg broken. His knee ruined. He go hospital. I'm sorry, I'm speaking pidgin English. He went to the hospital and found out that he had to stay off his leg for 60 days. Unbelievable. I was talking to her about that, and I wanted to come in here and ask you all to pray for him. And she told me something that was a revelation to me. She told me her father was diagnosed with lung cancer. And the doctor said, you have maybe 3 months to live. You just go home. There's nothing we can do for you. So He has a lot of Christian friends. Pray for him. Every day, pray for him. He lived 13 years. No operation, no medicine, just prayer. And this is something I thought you all would really appreciate hearing. So thank you, Hines. Thank you. I appreciate all of you.
And Jesus loves you.
Thanks, Mike. What a blessing. I was in Savannah, and there was this young man on a bicycle and a young African-American boy, and I'd seen him there many times, and Ann and I had, and he would sell peanuts and, you know, just walk around, ride his bike. And so I went up to him, and I said, "Do you know Jesus loves you?" And he got out a harmonica and played it on his harmonica. I've never had... I never had that considered a request for a song. So I gave him $5 and he played the Hallelujah chorus on his harmonica. So I'm Hines Wagoner and we're glad you're here. Tom, did you want to introduce yourself? Just give us your name, where you work, and how you found out about the meeting or not? Okay, just real briefly, don't preach.
Okay. Yeah, hey guys, glad I'm here. My name's Tom Reinhart. I actually have a real estate license as well. Not really actively selling at the moment, but work down the street for a guy who does real estate coaching. So he coaches real estate agents on how to create their team and make an effective and a strong team. But I'm a friend of Dino's. Dino actually came and did an inspection on my personal home because I was getting ready to list my house for sale.
Welcome, Tom. Good to have you. Thank you for coming. Anybody else? I think we're all... Yeah, we've been here. Jeff, did you want to introduce Dino? You want me to? Okay. Before I introduce Dino, I heard a quote recently that really applies to me. It says, "Things don't happen to you, they happen for you." And, you know, I'm reflecting on my life because I'm supposed to give a talk on the history of... high tech in Atlanta tomorrow, and a short one, but it just reminds me of the things in my life that seem to have been roadblocks, were wide open gates to areas of my life that I would have never thought of. One was working at Scientific Atlanta. Things got kind of tense. I left, thought that was a tragic event in my life, and 7 years later, I was standing on the platform at the Inc. 500 Awards in Rochester, New York, getting an award for our company being 177th on the Inc. 500. And none of that would have happened if I hadn't had that encounter that I thought was so tragic at the time that caused me to go in a different direction in my career. Anyway, just want to encourage you with that. Let's introduce our speaker.